You have arrived at your destination.
Hey, Jay. Who's your favorite C-list Marvel hero?
Oh, my gosh. It's got to be. Well, it can't be Devil Dinosaur because he's an A-lister.
Oh, hey, there we go. I like that. He's not. The correct answer is Moon Knight. Moon Knight is definitely the correct answer.
Obviously.
Yes. We all know that Moon Knight's the number one. No, it's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
If could they be considered C level? Probably C.
I think they're C.
They're probably C.
They've moved up a couple ranks.
Devil Dinosaur was 100% like D, F rank, like way back in the day.
Yeah.
When it was Moon Boy. So then I think it's been elevated by this. Probably up to a B at this point.
Considering the popularity, yeah.
So, you know, lots of people watch this. But yeah, we're talking Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur this week on Animation Destination. Destination Podcast, Animation Celebration Podcast. I'm your host, resident cartoon junkie Brandon Jones, and I'm here with Jay Wright.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here to talk about Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yes.
An awesome little show on Disney and Disney Plus.
It's so good.
It's like their last little hang-on for network television.
Right.
Like shows. it goes immediately to Disney Plus. Like, it goes immediately to, like, VOD and video on demand services and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, oh man, like, they're like, oh, it's on Disney. It's like, yeah, we know, but yeah.
But it's on streaming, and that's what really matters.
Cable's dead. We all know this. But yeah, I am personally, I wish this, like, because the last season aired, not the last season, the latest season aired not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
and it all came out in one big spurt.
Yes.
Which I didn't know.
Yes.
Because I watched, like, the first, like, first two episodes. It was, like, the two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, cool, awesome. Like, I can't wait to watch the rest of it throughout the weeks. And then, like, a week later, I'm like, oh, there's a new... I was like, okay, let's check out the new episode. And they were all on there. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I guess I can just watch it all right now.
It's like, I can watch it all, which... Fan of?
No, I prefer spurts.
I prefer weekly content or, yeah, like, hey, here's a couple episodes. It feels better. I don't like binge content.
You gotta IV drip this thing to me. I don't want it all at once.
Right. I still, to this day, have not watched Stranger Things season 4.
Really?
Because they're all an hour and some odd whatever minutes.
Yeah.
And everybody finished it that first weekend and everybody started talking about it. I'm just shut off. I'm just like, I don't want to watch a whole movie. Like, if they release that one week at a time for 4 weeks, then, like, perfect.
Yes.
Then you got 4 weeks of, like, or 8 weeks of, like...
pretty good movies.
Yeah, of like movies of, like, water cooler talk sessions about that. Like, that goes away when you just blurt it all out. Now people who pace themselves can't talk to the person who watched a bunch of it. Now that it's bad. Like, I think
it's separating us as a culture.
It is. It does. Like, there's no zeitgeist around the thing that you're watching. You know, it's like, oh, did you see it this week?
Right.
Yeah, it was awesome this week. This week was great. You know, it's like, but I don't know.
It's hard to have conversations with anyone without spoiling anything.
Right. Exactly. It's like, well, I binged through the whole season. Like, okay, cool.
Well,
it's like, you know, like, that was fine for, like, certain things that, like, I wasn't going to wait on, you know, but, like, I just can't, like, I want there to be more reason to keep these things up so that we can... Animation's had, like, a pretty good golden era.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of streaming.
It's had a good resurgence.
Because of streaming, Netflix especially. People don't realize that about Netflix. People are, like, you know, like, people, like, talk about Netflix hiking their prices, which they do, which is annoying.
Yeah.
The reason I keep it is because of the animation.
Yes.
Like,
oh, it's gone up, so, like... And huge quality.
Yeah, and not only that, like it's already has some of the best animation on it that people don't talk about that much.
No,
it's like Kipo and the Wonder Beasts is fantastic.
No one talks about Kipo.
No one talks about Kipo.
Oh my gosh, it ticks me off.
And it's fantastic. But, you know, but yeah, it's like, it's there, and I can watch it anytime I want on Netflix. Mm.
Well, so, and also there for a while, Netflix did not have anything good on it.
Yeah. For except for their animation. Because they started off with Dragon Prince, which was great. Then season 4 came out. But then season 5 came out, and it became great again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you know, we got these things going back and forth, which I can't wait for season 5 of that as well. These models for these things of like, hey, here's this show we can plaster on Disney Plus, and you know, like, but weekly content on Disney Plus. X-Men 97 is a great example of that.
Yes, they're doing that phenomenally.
Because it's one episode a week and people are freaking about every episode.
Yes.
Because it's good.
Oh my gosh.
Shockingly good, by the way.
Like, I did not religiously watch the original show.
Yeah.
I caught an episode here and there.
Sure.
I have been on this show
from the start.
And I did not expect to be hooked the way that I am.
It's so good.
It is the soap opera I did not know I needed in my life.
It's perfectly soap opera-y to the original, like the really soap opera-y episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like that.
Yeah.
And it's like the first like two episodes I equated like, oh, it's like two of the best really good episodes of the original series.
Oh, really?
And because like there's really good episodes of the original series. Mm-hmm. Like there's some crappy ones here and there.
Of course.
And there's some perfectly fine, you know, cartoon fare. But there are like episodes that are like, oh, like, because it wasn't typical that a cartoon like that would hit you with this kind of drama.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this kind of like real world kind of drama dropped in there. On a Saturday morning.
Of course.
It just wasn't a thing. So, like, watching that was like, oh, awesome. You know, it did that. And then Batman the Animated Series did that. Like, those things. X-Men doesn't get its credit for doing that kind of first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like doing that same thing that Batman was doing. You know,
yeah.
It's like, so, like, that more, like, adult, not adult content.
Yeah, but adult oriented.
So, mature yes. content, you know. Now like X-Men 97 has
been
well surpassed anything
like
that was on
every scene of every episode is just like they've got something going on in the background kids are just gonna let go by.
But we're not talking about X-Men 97.
No.
We're talking about Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, yes.
I think is a fantastic Marvel cartoon.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Because again, like Marvel cartoons have been bad for a long time. it hasn't been there. I would say since Earth's Mightiest Heroes,
I miss Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
I have not enjoyed an animated Marvel venture since then.
No,
Avengers Assemble is not very good.
No, it's not.
Ultimate Spider-Man's
the worst.
It's not good.
Like, I hate it.
The first season is like okay.
It's so bad, though.
But the reason it's bad, the reason it's real bad, is because it took Spectacular Spider-Man away from us.
Which we need
to do an episode on, by the way.
We do.
Spider-Man episode because it's back on Disney Plus finally. So because it keeps getting off and pulled on and blah blah blah. But so Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur I think is the first animated show from Marvel that I'm really enjoying in a long time.
Well, and it also helps that not only do they have it's just a fun show. They've got a great animation studio behind it.
Yes.
Flying Bark. They do such great work.
They are my favorite studio right now.
Oh, absolutely.
They're amazing. I have things I want them to do, like projects that I would love to see a show about this that they do.
Yes.
Like there's that. I want to do a whole episode of that actually. It's like,
here's my dream shows.
Here's an animated show that I want done by this studio.
Yes.
Like I want this done by Trigger. By Flying Bark. Like that's what I want. I want this done by Klatsky Supo. You know,
ooh, I can make a good list out of that.
That'd be good. I would love to do that.
That'd be awesome.
Me, you and Eric should do that.
Yes.
We should sit down and do that. It'd be a fun time.
And they're also working on another tangent for Flying Bark.
Yeah.
They're working on an Avatar project too.
One of the Avatar projects.
Give me right now.
Right? I don't know what it's going to be. It's not going to be the Aang the Last Airbender, which is going to be the new one that's coming out. I believe Mir is taking on that one, but I hope it's Studio Mir.
I would hope so.
I have not heard that it's Studio Mir.
No one's heard anything.
Yeah, the only thing we did get some news, actually.
Oh.
I'll cover that. Actually,
okay, all right.
News.
Yeah.
But before we get into the news, it's time for our animation recommendation. Roll the art. And that is going to be Killtube.
Yeah.
The trailer for Killtube, which I posted on our Facebook page. Go follow us on Facebook if you want to see these recommendations or this stuff. Killtube is a pilot Japanese Edo punk animated movie directed by Kazuyaki Kuribayashi. And it looks awesome. But it's an experimental project in the 108 Steps in collaboration with Kasan Visual Effects.
Okay.
I don't know what any of that means.
Neither do I.
108 Steps. I don't know what that is. It,
it sounds familiar.
It might be pertaining to the 108 Heroes of Water Margin. I don't know. But it's crazy. And but the trailer is out there. Katsuka, which is a great animation site that posts a bunch of cool animation from anime and French animation and European animation, posted the trailer for this thing. And it looks friggin' amazing.
Oh, it's stunning.
Yeah. Edo Punk is a really cool idea because it's like a kind of like Jet Set Radio meets like feudal Japan kind of a thing. So steampunk, cyber, like almost cyberpunkiness into it.
Steampunk samurai.
Yeah, steampunk samurai type stuff. But yeah, you know, it's like Jet Set Radio is really what it makes me feel. What it really makes me feel. You got these kind of like samurai that are like cross jumping across buildings and stuff. And
they got some technology attached to their like random attire.
Exactly. But then it's just like filled with all these different styles of animation in this little bite of a trailer.
It's such a and, it's such a beautiful mess of things too.
And I don't know like if it's gonna be all those things in the movie or if it's gonna be like one of those things. Like you know,
if it's all of those things, I'm gonna have a heck of a time, but I'm gonna need some Advil afterwards.
Exactly. like or at least like a structure of like, okay, when it's in this style, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
If it's this style, this is what's happening. It's going through this character.
Right.
Something that like ground the idea.
Because
if it's just like flipping through all the stuff, that's great for like 5 minutes, but like a movie, I don't know.
It'll keep the toddlers in pain the whole way through.
Exactly, right? Yeah. But it looks dope. And it's expected release is 2026.
All right.
Probably not getting to like 2028.
Of course.
That's how that typically goes.
Yeah. With how much effort they put into that trailer alone.
Right.
Like that looks like it was made like at least 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, they could be well into production. So they're, you know, who knows? And Japan isn't as bad at the late releases as like U.S. releases or European. European's like the worst.
Absolutely.
European releases are always like, yeah, we're expecting it in about 2021. They announce that in like 2023. it's like, well, that's 2 years from what you're talking about now. So I don't know what you mean. That Astro Boy anime from the French studio.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pluto?
No. Like, this is a completely separate one. It's a French studio that put out a trailer in 2014. It's one of my first animation recommendations. It's still apparently in production.
Shoot, it better be the best thing in the world
in 2024. Like, so I don't know what's happening about it, so you know, who knows if it's ever gonna get made. But yeah, go check out Killtube. If you type in Killtube, I don't think you get, when I first typed in Killtube, when I first saw this, I got zero results for Killtube. So it was like, all right, so it's not even in the Google search yet.
Yeah,
so
it's not even popular with anything right now.
So now you'll probably get it now that like the trailer's been out for a little while. So type in Killtube, go watch the trailer. It looks amazing. There's no plot in it. I have no idea what the plot's gonna be. So
got me.
Yeah. So who knows?
It looks crazy and fun.
Looks nuts. So it's more of a teaser than a trailer, I guess.
Yeah.
Trailer explains plot and character. Mm-hmm. Teaser
it doesn't. Oh, it's spoil it.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's the that's the other thing. But yeah, let's get into two news, Jay. What was that thing I was going to say about we were talking about?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah, yeah. What was it we were talking about like 5 seconds ago? But let's get into the news, shall we? We're talking news. My Hero Academia got an official full trailer for its new movie.
Very nice.
Yes, there's an imposter All Might, or a guy who thinks he's All Might, or wants to be the next All Might.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, but he's like kind of like a crazy, like, twisted version of him, so yeah, it's gonna be
interesting. X-Men, was it?
What's that?
It wasn't X-Men.
Was it about X-Men? I can't remember what it was about.
I'm sorry.
I know, right? We literally were talking about it. Roll the footage back. What were we talking about? but yeah.
All right, I'm here for some new Academia content.
Yeah, exactly. I'm down for that. Official Smiling Friends trailer, season 2.
Okay.
So, getting Smiling Friends season. I don't know if you watched season 1 of Smiling Friends.
I did. I saw enough clips to be familiar with.
Yeah. I like that show a lot.
Oh, really?
It's really good.
Okay.
Like, shockingly so, because I'm not usually into like that.
Yeah, it's
esoteric, weirdo kind of humor.
Yeah, that's kind of what put me off of it.
Yeah, it's very YouTube style humor. Mm-hmm. I will say that.
Okay.
It's made by YouTube animators. So
oh, yeah.
It's like, but Psychic Pebbles, Zach Hadel, the guy who like, and the guy, the I forget his name, David something. That's going to hurt me. Sorry, but they're very prevalent on YouTube, and this is like kind of like the first, like, hey, YouTubers are getting a TV show, essentially. Right. And they're just grabbing all these YouTube personalities and putting them in the show, and I think that's pretty great.
That's pretty awesome.
But it's actually, like, kind of well-written. Like, there actually is, like, a structure and a plot to, like, things that are going on, even though it's wacky and goofy.
Yeah.
I highly recommend Smiling Friends.
Okay.
It's shockingly really well put together.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Now, he said hesitantly.
Yes. Now, there is weird stuff. Don't get
me
wrong.
Oh, yeah,
sure. There's weird, creepy
just looking
nonsense.
At it, yes.
Yeah, there's weird, creepy nonsense. But, like, the two main characters are a lot of fun. Like,
okay.
You got the guy who's more, Charlie, who's more cynical. You got Pip, who's more, Pim, who's more jolly and like, you know, like he wants to help everybody, make everybody smile,
yeah.
And it's silly, but yeah, it's great. It's got Harry Partridge in there, man. Like Harry Partridge is a great animator.
Yeah.
Go check out his stuff; he's awesome. And yeah, it's good stuff. I love it. Let's see. And the last bit that we've got here is that Star Trek. Lower Decks will be ending at season 5.
So, oh, okay.
Fifth season, and it's done, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Don't want a show to outlive its welcome.
It's
and
been
stuff
fun.
Like that. It's been a fun show.
Yeah.
I've very much enjoyed Lower Decks. I didn't think I was going to enjoy Lower Decks
at
all because I was, at the time, hating all new Star Trek content. It was all terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated every bit of it. So when that show came around, I was like, okay, this is all right. And then Star Trek started to slowly improve all of their stuff. And now it's like, Star Trek's in a decent place right now.
Yes.
Not a great place.
It's...
But a decent one.
Well enough.
Strange New Worlds is good. It's good. It's not amazing.
Okay.
It's good.
I've never been much of a Star Trek aficionado.
Sure,
I take it in bits and pieces.
Yeah. And I'm a big nutter for Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Or... You know, just like good Star Trek, you know. Like
I haven't seen a lot of Lower Decks. I've seen enough to know that like it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I want to watch more of it.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun, and it got better with each season, which was nice. Because like they just started exploring more things about it, which were things that I wanted a new Star Trek show to actually explore, which is a modern look at what, from after TNG and Voyager and all that, what's Star Trek doing after that? No, we gotta do prequels. Everything's a prequel. Like,
of course.
And it's just like, why are we doing this? Don't do that. Just do new stuff.
Be creative.
Like, we have new technology. You can't do a prequel where everything looks nicer on the bridge. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Which I'm fine with, but there's all sorts of weird, stupid things to go back and do prequels for. It doesn't make any sense when you could explore new things and do new things for it. Other thing, Jay, is that next week, April 19th, we've got Spy Family Code White coming to theaters.
Yes.
That's here in our hometown as well.
We need to see that.
And in select theaters for everybody else out there. Go check your select theaters, see if you can get it. But it's from 19th through five or six days or something like that.
That's not bad.
Plenty of time. We got dub and sub.
Mm-hmm.
So go pick your poison. You want the dub, you want the sub. The dub's okay in that show.
Yeah.
It's just okay.
I like it well enough.
But it's well enough. It's good enough. Anya's real good. Yours real good. Everybody else can be whatever. It doesn't really matter. Anya, just because, like, she kind of has to be...
Yeah, she's kind of the main character.
She's the main character. She has to be, like, good. She can't be annoying to listen to, like Naruto.
He wasn't bad. I liked Naruto. Fight me.
That's fine. I like the new voice actor for young Naruto now. I think it's a much better fit. But... I didn't like the Naruto dub, so it's like, which is why I can't finish Naruto because I'm doing work and I can't read it. So anyway, but yeah, that's all the toon news, except for that thing that we mentioned earlier that I still can't remember what we were talking about.
Put it in the comments.
Put it in the comments. What were we talking about earlier that
what do you want us to talk about in the next news?
Right. Exactly. Because I missed something because we talked about it and then I just skipped over it. But
this
is
why I need to have notepads.
I know, right? I should just type it down. But whatever, it's fine. We're going off the cuff, off the seat of our pants, And we're talking Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. And we're just doing a coverage, a general coverage of the show, Jay.
Sounds good.
Sounds great.
There's a lot to cover in it.
There's a lot to cover.
It's fun.
It's a fun show. And again, by Flying Bark.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I noticed from the trailer of this show, from the first look of it.
Oh, Avatar.
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 That's what it was.
That's the news.
The one bit of news that we do know. Rewind. The one bit of news we do know is that Dante Bosco is reprising his role as Zuko.
What?
He is the only one that is reprising his role.
Really?
Because they're adults now.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Now, a little weird. I think Mae Whitman could do Katara still.
Oh, easily.
I think Jack DeSena could still do
Sokka, for
but
sure.
I think they want to manly him up a little bit because like he does have like a little voice. So it's like Jack DeSena has, I think he'll admit, a very young voice.
He does. Like, yeah, like it's not going anywhere.
It works great for MK.
He may be able to mature it in his own way,
right?
But like,
yeah, exactly. Which he kind of does with Callum.
And
Dragon Prince. But it still is definitively Jack DeSena. Mm-hmm. So you know, and you know that was his voice when he was well past puberty doing Sokka. So you know, it's like that's kind of just his voice. That said, that's fine, but they did get Dante Bosco to come back because so Dante Bosco playing Zuko in the original, and that's it for two news.
Sorry,
we did it. Still comment still comment about other stuff you want us to talk about if there's anything else. So there we go. Moving back, Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur, Jay.
Yes,
we're gonna talk about that show. Developed by Steve Lotter, Jeffrey M. Howard, and Kate Condelli for the Disney Channel. This was made specifically for Disney Channel, actually, mm-hmm. So which is cool.
Boy, did they do a good job on it.
They did a great job on this. But when I first saw like the trailer for it, or the still for it, actually, mm-hmm. I was like, that looks really nice.
Yeah.
Because nothing else looked like that.
No.
Like, nothing else in the Disney Plus app. Or like the in anywhere else where they were showing it, like mm-hmm. nothing looked like that.
And yeah, then, there's no content that looks like a comic book.
Yeah, right.
To that degree,
like it was like a Loud House, but also like a very I hate to use this word, but I will use it, unurban Loud House. You know what I mean? Like like a very New York style, Jersey. Yeah. Like that sort
and
of
there's
thing.
Nothing wrong with Jersey.
Nothing wrong with Jersey. Plenty wrong with Jersey. Even they acknowledge it in that show.
Yeah.
They know.
Like, my little girl's not going to Jersey.
No, my little girl's not going to Jersey. Which is great. But like nothing else looks like that show. And then when the trailer came out, nothing else sounded like that show.
Yes.
Nothing else was animated like that show.
No.
And when I saw that it was Flying Bark doing it, who did Rise of the TMNT, mm-hmm. which is the Dark Horse GOAT TMNT cartoon you
easily.
All need to watch.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It's so good. I'm sorry. It's better than 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Fight me.
Easily.
Fight me. I don't care. You can you can say no way all you want.
It's
okay?
So much better.
It's better.
In every way.
Rise of the TMNT is so much better. Sorry to break your heart.
But like even jumping from TMNT to this, it still feels so much different.
It's totally different.
It still
from
has
that.
The same touch to it.
Yes,
but like it's got such a more crisp vibe,
mm-hmm.
and they know how to play with the sound so much better.
What's so smart about it is that I love the fact that every episode has like the music video.
Oh,
action
it's so
scene.
Good.
The music video action scene that they all have.
They're phenomenal.
It's fantastic because it's original. It's original music for the show.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
All of those are actual
tracks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I thought they.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. They go in between because a number of them are original for the show, and then they'll bring in like actual songs.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I know that's like because it's like real artists doing it. Like mm-hmm. I know that, but like there were some I know that were made specifically for the show. I thought it was all of them. So
my bad.
But they'll go back and forth. But yeah, but that's really awesome that they have this thing where it's like this music is so tied to the show, and then you have like it goes stylized to the music to the action scene.
Oh, it's so good.
Fantastic idea.
What
like,
a good decision.
And just that's the thing that's in the show Bible that's like right at the top that I think like they all just were like, this is something we need to hammer home. Like mm-hmm. we need to have original, like good, like cool aesthetics for this specific thing, mm-hmm. like what's going, and it all like ties into like the interpersonal thoughts of like Lunella or like the other characters that it's going on about, like,
or even just the
villain that's going on, or like the rage that's happening in the situation. Like so brilliant the way they do that.
It appeals to every part of the emotion that everyone is feeling.
Yeah.
And it often, like, it'll either, like, tie directly into the lesson that they're trying to learn.
Yeah.
Or, like, it just shows how oblivious one character is to the world that, like, is changing around them.
And it'll have that drop point in the song to where it then shifts to where, like, the plot, the fight scene shifts, the plot line shifts, the confidence is back, and then, like, the whole...
Oh, it's so good.
It's such a great thing, and it happens... They do it every episode, and it's fresh every time. It's not the same thing. They don't just go into, like, you know, like, the gimmick of, like, into 3D mode, put on your 3D glasses, kids.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's fine. That's all marketable nonsense. I love that. You
it's
know,
fun but in its own way.
It's fun in its own way, but it's, like, those things were just, like, it's a gimmick, but it's a gimmick that's tied to what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's very specific. Every time they do it, it's unique, and it's just really cool. Like, and they'll even have, like, climaxes that are, like, dark, that are, like where it's, like, things are, like, overwhelming, and, like, it's, like, oh, man, like, and they don't win at the end, because it's, like, you know, the first parter, or, like, you know, lead into the final thing, or whatever, you know, it's, like, it's great, like, I love that, so... It's just brilliant stuff. Nothing looks like this show. Nothing sounds like this show.
Oh, yeah.
Even stationary and animated. The other part that's different about that versus TMNT, Rise of the TMNT uses a lot of fisheye lens, speed-oriented. Just watch the animated opening for it.
Yeah.
The whole show is kind of that. Like, everything kind of gets warped and, like, is cartoonish and Looney Tunes, but they're but it's all, like, kind of fisheyed to, like, motion, like like these ninjas are moving forward and everything's all the fight scenes are very fast paced, fast motion.
Yeah, they're playing with the fluidity of the characters and the action.
Yeah, exactly, and everything's moving. There's always, whenever they're fighting, like, a big battle, everything's always moving. Like, all the turtles are moving, the villain's moving, they're throwing something at him, it's moving towards the camera. It's all this motion. Motion in this show is very, like, kind of straight on in a lot of more ways, because it's more like a comic panel.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
Oh,
so,
it's just what they needed.
Yeah, it's like there's not a whole lot of fish-eyed lens or perspective shots in this show, unless it's like a straight-on, like, posy shot, you know, like posing type of thing. Most of the action is very straight-on, led, like a comic panel, which is great, you know, and I love it.
That's how they should do it.
Yeah, and it also, I love how they... I'm just going into everything visually about this thing.
Oh,
like
you need to.
I like how they do hair.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
Like, it's a brilliant way, because, like hair is hard to animate.
It
like,
is.
In like every respect. So, like, just having like this this dark scribble of like hair.
What
with,
a clever
like,
way to do that.
It's great.
It's like, such a simple way to add texture to it.
Right. Right. And it's very like specifically ethnocentric to what's going on.
Right.
Which is cool, you know, and like, but But it has like a very cool vibe to it. It looks like a sketchy, kind of painted way of things, you know? Like,
right.
The look of the town is cool. You've got this cool graffiti everywhere. This you know,
they really make the town feel alive with its community too. Because she's such a essential part to her own community.
Yeah.
It makes you want to be a part of your own.
Yeah.
And like be on that same level that she is.
Yeah.
And it I've never felt like a superhero's place is so alive and part of who they are. Like Batman in Gotham, he's all about protecting Gotham, but I don't see him out on the streets hanging out with people.
He's an urban legend of the thing. People know of him, but they speak of him in whispers.
Exactly.
You know, that stuff. She's more Spider-Man in more like modern day Spider-Man. We're like, hey, Spidey. You know, people on the street are like, Moon Girl, what's
that's
up?
Moon Girl.
And
do a flip.
And and she'll like hang out and like be with them. Like that's like a whole thing. She's part of the community and stuff like that, and her family is a big part of the community.
Yes,
with the roller rink, which is cool. So they have they own like a roller rink that is really like a staple of the community, which I thought was really cool that the episode centered around that.
Yeah,
actually brought in that whole idea of like roller rink.
Prejudice.
Or just like the underground like culture of it. You know, like that's a big thing, and I didn't even know that it was big here in Louisville.
Neither did I.
Had no idea that was like a big thing here in Louisville for a while. And like there's actual like moves that were created here in a roller dancing rink. And that
you sent that to me. And
I learned
like,
things. I learned things
about our own community,
about my town. You know, it's like that's awesome. I had no idea that like that was such a big deal. Like, 'cause I'd heard of like that that subculture of things.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Like yeah. Who hasn't?
Yeah, I've certainly heard of like hip hop and like roller rinks and stuff like that. And like that's a whole big thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I had no idea it was such a big thing here. Because guess what? The first time I went to a roller rink, I was about 5 years old and mm-hmm. busted my lip open.
Yep.
Never wanted to put skates on again. So, and I never have.
So after me and my fiance started watching that,
mm-hmm.
We actually started going to a roller rink.
Now, oh, fiance!
We're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I forgot those. We hadn't talked about that since we were in Chicago.
But
anyway,
we have a roller rink that's right up the road from us.
Yeah.
So we just started going there.
And that's like, awesome.
This is phenomenal. Why don't we do this more often?
That's great.
And it took a cartoon for us to start doing it.
It's so funny because I knew that there was like a bit of a subculture of roller derby here.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that was a thing, but I didn't know that like the roller rink dancing stuff was a thing here.
Yeah.
So, which I guess it makes sense because there'd be plenty of roller places to be at.
Right.
So of course there'd be like both of them, you know, mm-hmm. it's like
they'd feed each other.
They'd feed each other pretty well. So yeah, but it's really cool. And then they kind of like touched on like the prejudice of some of it and like how a lot of the places opened up because, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing from the early days. And like that was really cool. Like, I like how they do that. And, yeah, it's great. Like, I like this show a lot.
Oh, it's
like,
so good.
And I haven't even gotten into like plot. Right. The show yet.
Just the visuals and the music alone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's I would say like the good way to do social messaging too.
Oh, absolutely.
There's nothing beaten over your head about certain things. Mm-mm. It's very nice. It's very like, yeah, again, like this is an old school thing for older cartoons as well. Just nice lessons for like a little girl to learn.
Yeah.
But like cultural things that like maybe haven't made it onto television. Like mm-hmm. a big one since what was that short that came out? Bad Hair Day.
Oh,
yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was just called Hair Day. But yeah, where it's like the dad like doing his daughter's like buns and stuff like that. It's like that's a piece of Black culture that doesn't really get, you know, showcased a whole lot of times. That,
no.
Like,
yeah, it's not in like, our culture at all.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, there's hair care products, sure. But, like, I'm sure there's lots of people that just go to bed and wake up and that's their hair.
Yep.
My dad does it every day. It's like, you don't have to worry about ever putting anything in it. And he always wonders why I put, like, gel in the front of my hair. Like, why do I do that? It's like, because I don't just wake up and have my hair immediately that way. I have mm-hmm. two cowlicks here and two back here.
Yep.
I kind of have to do stuff with it. But the idea of, like, you know, like, you know, like her, there's a whole like hair care episode with Lunella where she doesn't really take care of her hair and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's like, you don't really think about it that much, but then that becomes like the villain,
right.
Which is kind of fun because like, I'm going to science this together. And it's like, and of course the science goes wrong and like the hair becomes a villain. And like, it's a very lovely little message to just be like, you know, like, you know, this is just something that like somebody might deal with that they've never, been shown on a medium before. So
it shows good representation cool. and is a good lesson for people with that type of hair too.
Yeah, exactly. So it was fun. And it's a universal lesson of like accepting
exactly.
yourself and everything about what you are. You know, it's like that's universal. Everybody can take that in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's great. And that's how you do a message, people. Like you have to
like,
sync it.
The messages are so good too.
Yeah.
Like they'll throw some like hard bits of reality with mm-hmm. some prejudice in there.
Oh yeah.
But like it's never like too much to consume. It's never beaten over the head.
Yeah.
It's always handled in a mature way.
Very mature.
Like, there are people who will treat you like this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We love you and we know that you're gonna be okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very well done. You know, they do a great job of all that. And then the plot is good too.
Oh my gosh, the plot is amazing. It's so cute and fun.
It's great. And again, like even just like not the overall plot. Like I'm just mm-hmm. mean like the episodic stuff that happens. Because mm-hmm. the first three-part opener, I think, is like is it three or two-part. Something like that. I think it's three-parter. But I think it might be two-part. No, it's two. It's just an hour long. It's so well done.
Yeah.
Like I love that episode. I love that two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because like they have they use Aftershock, which is a totally C-rank villain, like D-rank Marvel villain.
Yeah,
which I love that they showcase like really low rank.
They've been doing that. So yeah. I just thought they invented most of these villains for the show.
Yeah, no, they're like I think there might be like a few maybe they did like
mm-hmm.
maybe, but I think they're all like all the heroes and all the villains that they use are all like at some point have been a character because Aftershock is like. I think like D-list Spider-Man villain, like barely ever used, like female Electro or whatever.
Yeah,
and she's a lot of fun in this opener.
Oh, like, she's phenomenal.
Like she's great, and just the idea that like you know, they have this, you know, like, there's this sort of, like oppression, over, like, her power is specifically, like, bringing the town all the way down and stuff like that, and, like, so stopping her, like, lifts up the community, so, which is perfect for Lunella, what she represents, which is really cool, and I just, I like that a lot, and of course, you know, using basic, you know, some basic science to outdo her,
right,
which, that's always great, but, and
they never shy away from how clever she is, and how she applies herself to the villains, too.
Exactly, and it's a little, like, they keep it very cartoonish, which I like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you know, in the comics, they have to explain that she's an inhuman, that she got super inhuman intelligence, whatever, which makes sense. You have real world stuff in a Marvel in a Marvel comic.
It's a comic,
so you have to like justify this 13-year-old girl having the brains of Reed Richards. Yeah. So, which makes sense. This show is just a contained thing.
Right.
You don't really need that. No. She's super science.
That's all you need.
It's a cartoon. It's fine. You know, like, we don't need to get into, like, because, like, you know, like, the idea of, like, oh, I just, like, made a portal that opens up a thing to a dinosaur, you know, that a sentient dinosaur came in. I do wish, there's one part of it I do. I wish there was some sort of, like, metaphysical connection that happened between them.
Yeah.
Like, when he was coming through, like, she got hit with something, and, like, they sort of melded minds or something.
I mean, yeah. I think that'd be an interesting, like, little connection they could have.
Now, never, like, I don't ever want to hear Dee's voice, like, in her head. I still, the dog voices are perfect.
Oh, I love that she, like, took an hour one day and was like, now I speak dinosaur.
And now I speak dinosaur, right. It's funny, but it's like, they're it feels like anybody, like that's an idea of, like, how would that even, like, because, like, the dinosaur can't learn that part of it, you know?
No.
It's an interdimensional dinosaur. We can wave it away. It's fine.
Exactly.
But, like, the idea of, like, a mental connection would have been cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, then, it's, like, little bit of extra on top of there.
Well, and she even does that to herself later on.
Yeah, it's true. So. Yeah, it's true. It's very true. In one of the episodes, there's lots of crazy stuff to herself. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like the... all the villains they use are a lot of fun.
Oh, the villains are great.
They're great.
All of them are charming and stupid in their own way.
Just goofy and stupid. Lady Bullseye shows up in season two, which I like. And she's totally different from what she is in the comic.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know anything about Lady Bullseye prior to her showing up in this. And then as soon as she showed up, I was like, all right, I know she's a character. So I'm going to look her up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like. This is nothing like her at all.
Not the same character at all. Like,
very different.
Totally different. I love what they did with her, though.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
She's very, trying to pinpoint a character she is.
Like, she's like the manager at a Walmart you don't want to piss off.
Don't want to piss off, yeah. She's that micromanaging boss type of character, which is fun. Like,
she's always got a smile on, right? But it kind of just makes her scarier.
Yes, exactly. Like if Cruella DeVille was your boss.
Oh, God.
You know, like, that sort of thing. Not the movie Cruella DeVille.
The cartoon.
I don't know what that was. I'm making a sequel of that.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
It
was awful.
Hold up. They already did make a sequel to that.
Yeah.
There was a 102 Dalmatians.
Oh, no. They're making a sequel to the Cruella movie that came out in 2020.
Oh, okay.
Which was awful. I don't know if you watched that piece of garbage. Oh, man.
I had fun with it. I liked it.
You can't make Cruella. I can't. I'm not doing it. I'm not getting into it. I'm not getting into it.
It was a good movie.
And I... Stop. Stop right now. But yeah.
Yes.
So,
Lady Bullseye was a fun character.
Lady Bullseye was fun.
It was a change, but it was a fun change.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's fine. Because again, Lady Bullseye is just sort of like... she's fine.
Well, and also for like this cartoon, you can kind of do whatever. The Beyonder is very different.
Let's talk about Beyonder.
Oh my gosh, let's talk about Beyonder.
Because this is the funniest thing that they did. The first five episodes of this show are being narrated by Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes.
Which is great.
Oh, so.
Because Lawrence Fishburne is like an executive producer on this show. He was really adamant about getting it out. He was always on the interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they never said that he was in the show. I don't think in any of the pressers or anything. They might have. I don't. If it was, bad idea, because it would have spoiled stuff. Luckily, I didn't watch that He was, it just said Lawrence Fishburne, executive producer. That's all the stuff that I watched. Because at the beginning, there's a narrator in this show. Mm-hmm. The first five episodes, someone is narrating who these characters are. Narrates who Lunella is, narrates who Aftershock is, who the internet troll guy is, like all these, like...
All the cute little villain moments.
Villain moments, all these characters, like, this is da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And, like, it's Lawrence Fishburne doing it. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, just got a narrator to explain this stuff. Turns out that's actually the Beyonder.
I love it.
In show canon, narrating Lunella's life because he's taken a liking to Lunella. So that's brilliant.
What a great choice. It's perfect.
That's brilliant. I absolutely love that. Because like, and because he didn't show up like every time then.
Yeah.
But every now and then, like, then he would just like insert himself into the show. Beyonder here. And like, he would just explain what was going on. And like, that's great. What a great way to do it.
So. And they set him up from the beginning,
too. Yes, I know. Yeah.
Like,
so
what
smart.
A great, like, so his smart. His name is on the subway car.
Yeah.
The whole time
it's on there, right there. But which I noticed, I noticed Beyonder was like on the subway car. I was like, that's cute. Like that's like a whole thing. But I didn't think he was gonna be a part of the show.
Of course not.
And I didn't think it was
Why
gonna
would
be,
you?
And I didn't think it was gonna be the narrator, Lawrence Fishburne, playing him. So I was like, that's pretty smart.
That's so perfect.
It's pretty smart.
I think he's my favorite character.
He's a lot of fun in this.
He's pretty great.
He's a lot of fun in this because again, he takes a liking to Lunella, and then Lunella's going to teach him about humanity, essentially, because he wants to learn about humanity.
I got a soft spot for, like, interdimensional beings that just come in to mess around with things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, Q, Discord, like, it's all great. So.
Mixelplick.
Yeah.
Mixelplick.
It's awesome. So
always good.
Mixia's Spitlick.
Yes.
But yeah, Mixie's great. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Again, like... The characters are all fun in this, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Casey's fun. Like, it's, like, just literally just your, like, other friend.
Right.
Like, in the show. Like, but, you know, she's a lot, like, she's, like, totally opposite of Lunella. Mm-hmm. She's more, like, outgoing, but, like, kind of fashion obsessed, so she didn't have, like, much of a friend group prior
She's
to
kind
her.
Of a girl boss.
Yeah.
In social media. And
social
like,
media,
she,
yeah.
She's also, like, the popular girl.
Yeah, a little bit of a popular girl, but not, like, super, like, uber popular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's, like...
She's very grounded.
Very grounded in that sort of way. She also has, as is customary for every cartoon now, the one with two gay dads.
Of course.
So every single show...
You gotta have two gay dads.
...has to have the friend... Who has the two gay dads?
I love her gay dads.
It's hilarious.
It's
though.
Great.
It's just funny that it's like every show. It's like Willow, two gay dads.
Yep.
Who's the kid from Loud House? His best friend.
Oh,
two gay dads.
Bo from
She-Ra. Two gay dads. It's just like every single one is that. So it's like it's funny.
I love it. It's a funny.
I love
how much she bosses her gay dads around.
Yeah,
too.
It's funny.
Like they're
almost
afraid of her.
They're afraid of her. They're terrified of her. Yeah, it's like because when she gets into her social media modes and stuff like that. So yeah, I want a little bit more of her. I was happy with, like, towards the end of season two. Want a little bit more of her mom. So she didn't have a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
The dad was, like, had a few episodes with him. The grandma, obviously. Tons of stuff with Lunella, with her. But, and the granddad, he's perfect.
Oh, granddad's great.
Granddad's awesome.
He's cute.
He's great. He's awesome. Played by Smart Brother. I forget his name. The guy played Bebop. Ah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played Bebop in the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
The sequel version of it. The sequel movie by the Michael Bay run. I forget the guy's name. But he played Smart Brother and Undercover Brother. That's what I know him from. Like, but he's great in everything he does.
I want more from the mom. I'd like some more development with her, which we're going to get. Oh, yeah.
Which was a really good cliffhanger.
Oh, I love it so much.
Season two. Yeah, it's like, and we're not getting into specifics of things. We'll cover some episodes or we want to talk about a bunch of stuff. But you know, like, we're not going to break down the whole series episode by episode. Because guess what? There's two seasons right now. There's a lot going on.
Oh, my God, so much. It's all so good, though.
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize season one was only 16 episodes. So... Season 1, 16. Season 2, 24. So, 24 episodes. And
Jeez,
these are...
Jeez, like a lot.
Yeah, and these are all 15 minutes, 12 minutes.
Yeah.
So, second half hours. So, this show is really good. I don't know if it's, like, kicking butt in the ratings or anything like that, or if it's, you know, just kind of existing. I hope it's doing well. Like, I really want this show to do well. because I think it's I think it's a triumph of
it's phenomenal
of the design and idea that they were trying to get across.
Also, it's such a good resurgence for Marvel in general.
Yes,
because one, they're appealing to new and younger crowds in a fun way.
Yep.
Especially with how creative they're creating, they're making the characters and story for this show.
Yeah.
And they're also just kind of breaking into new territory by bringing in like C and D list characters.
Yeah.
Like, we all know about Captain America, Iron Man, all that fun stuff.
Of course.
Give me some time. I like that we're getting Moon Girl content with some random heroes.
Yeah.
Like, there was one episode that featured a very D list hero.
Turbo.
Turbo.
Yep.
I had never heard of Turbo.
Yep. Turbo's she was on the League of Losers. What are they called? New Warriors. She was on New Warriors, that sort of thing all the time. So,
but yeah.
Turbo's a regular character in Marvel U. So.
Moon Girl is dropping like so many random names, not even just like Marvel characters. They also drop like celebrities too on a regular basis.
I was shocked that season two brought in Marvel Boy, which was interesting. I thought that was pretty cool. Marvel Kid, I think they call him in this.
Yeah.
But it's Marvel Boy essentially. But it might be a different offshoot character if I remember right.
I looked him up and Kid Kree.
Kid Kree, that's what Kid they call Kree. Him in this. Yeah, sorry.
That's his name in the comic.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, my bad. So yeah. Kid Kree, I thought it was Marvel Boy because who was a Kree? So whatever.
same concept.
He was a Kree. But yeah, because like Marvel Man was a Kree, or Captain Marvel was a Kree originally. Padvar, Kid Kree in the show. What I was expecting, because I was kind of expecting like, it'd be funny to have like a little like love interest for Lunella on the show or whatever. I was expecting Rocket Racer. So Rocket Racer is a spin-off attempt Spider-Man character who was in a couple of issues of Spider-Man. He fought a guy named Big Wheel, and there's a guy with a big old wheel that he drove around New York, and Big Wheel does show up in this show. Which I thought was going to happen, but he's like a one shot. I think Turbo takes him out in like a few seconds or whatever, but Big Wheel was a whole thing. But yeah, it was funny. That said, I thought Rocket Racer would make a good, like, hey, here's another character for Lunella to kind of be with or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be that.
Just looking at this character, that would be great.
I thought it'd be perfect to kind of like just DH him down to her level, or like, you know, like make one of the characters that's already there into one of them, but whatever. So plus also she owns a roller rink, so it's kind of perfect to have like Rocket Racer in there. He's got like a freaking, but yeah. So it's pretty nice that you get to see these like D-list characters or characters that nobody really sees. And that's what I want. I want like, I guess what Marvel should do is explore these other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a Moon Knight cartoon that's like, you know, like weird and offshoot, that's different from this, or, you know, like
they have so much property to work with,
tons of stuff that they don't do anything with,
right?
You know, it's like, I mean, yeah, granted, we had the Moon Knight TV show, but it took forever to get to there, and it wasn't very good.
personally,
people enjoyed it. I don't think it's like the worst thing they ever did, but it was like fine. I would have liked to have seen like some weird, trippy, animated like TV show Moon Knight. I think that would have been awesome.
If Marvel can break into like the anime,
community,
they would go nuts.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be awesome. Like do what they did with Star Wars and like do some Marvel shows.
Oh,
Marvel
absolutely.
Shorts Get with some... like anime stuff. So, or like, again, like they had a bunch of anime studios take on Avengers and Iron Man and Wolverine and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those.
Yeah, right? And, like, they're all pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Like, the X-Men one's kind of bad. But,
yeah, I mean, is most X-Men content.
Yeah, but the Wolverine show is good. The frickin' the Iron Man show is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. So, with that Black Widow and Punisher. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Like, there's certain things that are good with the Avengers show, not great. But, X-Men, a little bit better than that, but that's still not great.
I mean, that's
better. But yeah, like, give me some more of that. Give me some stuff here. Or just have Flying Bark do more stuff.
Right.
And, like,
keep giving them money, please.
Grab on to other characters and stuff. Because, like, I don't know, like, I like the D-list characters that would show up in the Spider-Man animated series all the time. Like, you would have, or, you know, like, again, like, Kraven's kind of been elevated to a certain degree, because
people know who Kraven is.
Because he's had some really good like comic book stories recently, but like nobody knew who Kraven was when the Spider-Man animated series showed up.
Yeah.
Like, he's, who is this?
Well, everyone's going to know now that he has a movie coming out.
Yeah, everyone's going to know infamously how bad that's going to be. Oh, man. Can they just kill that whole side
they,
of things?
They need like, to so
I
bad.
Mean, like, they've made this movie. It's going to come out. I think that's got to be the last try, guys.
It needs to be.
It's got to be the last try. You can't try this
They're going to keep pushing them.
I can't imagine. Because
there's no money to be made.
There's nothing to be made of it. Madam Web bombed. Morpheus bombed twice.
Yeah.
Like, twice. The only one that makes money is Venom, and that's because of China.
Like, yep. Like,
for some reason, China loves Tom... What's his name?
Hardy?
Hardy. Tom Hardy. Yeah. They love Tom Hardy over in China for some reason. And they love Venom. I don't know. Like, it's the only one that makes any money, and that's overseas, so it's not even here that it makes money. So I just, oh, God. And that trailer for The Kraven, oh, my God. Mm-mm. Oh.
I don't even want to get into it.
Give us a Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur animated movie.
Oh, that's so good. Instead? Give us animated movies.
Yeah. Like, just the cliffhanger for season one was so good.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Because you had this whole thing of, like, Lunella realizing they're... So Lunella named herself after Moon Girl, which was this mysterious scientist who kind of made this portal that she made that she got Devil Dinosaur out of.
Yeah.
Also, Devil Dinosaur is great in this because he's a Scooby-Doo. You
know, yes, he's Scooby-Doo.
He's Scooby-Doo. He does little dog noises. It's great.
It's perfect.
Everything about it's perfect. And you know, it's like, rrr, rrr. Like he literally just does like, rrr, rrr, rrr.
He even has the spots.
Rrr. Yeah. So he got the spots and he does like little tantrums and like curls up into a ball when he's angry. He's great. But, she developed the technology for this by looking at like, missing notes from this Moon Girl that nobody knows anything about. And these other scientists that are in this photo, nobody knows who these people are, but it's like the secret government like thing or whatever. And surprise, surprise, that person is her grandmother.
Yeah.
So she's the original Moon Girl that she took her name. Good twist, because I didn't see that part coming.
No.
What I liked about the first two-parter at the start was that at the end when she's like, when Moon Girl's like making the little like thing to drain Aftershock of her powers, her grandma looks down at her and kind of gives like a little smile. She knows it's Lunella, and that's it's like, okay, that's cool. Like the grandma knows, and like all through like season one, it's like, if there's anything you want to talk about,
right?
Wink.
And oh my like, gosh.
Wink. And it's funny. But,
I love it. Yeah. I love whenever like a parent figure knows about the superheroing, and they're just like, hey, I'm cool with this. Just tell me already.
Right. Yeah. Which I do like the what they do at the end of season two with it too, because but you have like the end of season one. And it's the original Moon Girl, and she becomes that. The scientists from that time, like, they want to get that technology back. They have to open up a big portal. Mm-hmm. It's all bad and stuff like that. Yeah. Lunella gets sucked into the portal. I thought the whole season was going to be her, like, going through the multiverse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which makes sense to me, like the first, like, six episodes or something.
Yeah,
something like
that's exactly what they would do.
Right,
have
yeah.
some fun with it.
Nope, it's just the first one, but... What they do brilliantly is they give her PTSD.
Right.
Which is really well done.
Oh my God.
Like really well done. Because the like, whole time they're on this, she's on this planet. She gets dumped on this planet that is the Beyonders, which was not the Beyonders,
Molecule Man.
Molecule Man's like paradise oasis kind of resort.
Yeah.
Essentially. Molecule Man, a D-list or C-list Fantastic Four villain, maybe?
Yeah.
Probably D at this point. Nobody remembers Molecule Man.
No, I didn't.
I remember him from the original cartoon from back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool stuff.
I heard the name once
a while ago. Yeah, yeah. He's not very well... He's not used a lot. But, but Molecule Man, he essentially has, like, you know, reality-warping powers, essentially. Yeah. He can shift molecules into being whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And he has homeostasis around the universe, that sort of thing. Very much on par with the Beyonder, who can just snap reality. But she lands on that, and it's like this desolate world, and he kind of like, she finds out that Beyonder kind of wrecked that place for fun.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. Like, because like him and Molecule Man kind of have like a rivalry going, so he's like, I'm going to wreck your whole thing. So then Molecule Man put a rule on his planet that the Beyonder can't use his powers on that planet. So he's like sitting there trying to snap things in it. So he's like this little like mess of a person as they're getting attacked by like all these multi-dimensional beings and stuff.
Because Yonder has no power, so everyone's like out for his neck.
Out for his neck, because like he's been a jerk to everybody.
Yep.
What I like about it, like, they introduce Devil Girl and Moon Dinosaur.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I want more of that. Like, I wanted them to come back.
Right.
Like, because I loved that. I was like, more of that, please. I need some more stupid. I need more Devil Girl, at least. Like, yes. Devil Girl was fun. Like, that was great. Maybe do like a switcheroo episode.
Oh,
like,
that'd be cool.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Be cool. But yeah, more of that, please. But so basically Lunella's like being like taking charge and like dragging the Beyonder, who's impotent and like can't do anything.
He's just having a little panic attack.
He's just like curled up, and she's like dragging him across to get to this spaceship or whatever. But in doing so, like, they meet up with Molecule Man, and he basically almost kills Lunella.
Yep.
Like, they don't beat around the bush, like, almost like just sinks her into the earth and like
he just does away with her.
So she has like this like near death experience,
which,
and like, she's 13,
right?
It's like, and they do a beautiful job of dealing with that, which I love. It's not not just forgotten, it's not taken over in like an episode.
Yeah.
Like, several episodes she like has panic attacks over this until they get to like a part where she has to confront it, and it's really well done.
Oh, it's so
like,
good.
It's really well done.
It's like, very cathartic.
Yes, it's great, because like they deal with the fact that like she's 13.
She's a kid.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be having to deal with this.
Exactly.
And especially with everything that she's already been through.
Yeah.
Like, it's not enough that she fights criminals on a daily basis and her life has been threatened.
Yeah.
She can think her way through that.
Yeah.
It's the one point where she's like completely out of her depths, and she won by the skin of her, by someone else's help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And intervention.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that she was able to get out of that situation, as well as help her PTSD.
Yes, indeed. It was great. It's a great little arc to start it off with and like give her an area to then. But then it starts getting into the idea of like she's missing time with her family throughout the season. So she's doing more Moon Girl stuff. She's doing more science stuff, more stuff at school. She's not lacking in school, but it's leaving way less time for her family.
Yeah.
And it's starting to be noticeable, you know? It's like, and like, what I like is towards the end when like the mom kind of notices like she doesn't get to hang out with her little girl anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very like normal thing from her. Like, it's something she's dealing with, but it's a very normal thing from that, because it's sort of like the empty nest syndrome, because like, She's not with her own. She's doing all this other stuff. She's starting to have her own life.
Yeah.
But she's having this like kind of grip, you know, wanting to grip back with it. All the while, the grandma's kind of like, "Hey, we should probably tell our family our secret, because secrets are bad. Secrets led to you getting sucked into a portal.
Yeah.
So we should probably let them know about this, you know." So like, there's a whole thing about that, and that culminates into a whole end part where Molecule Man shows up again.
Oh, Lord.
But before that, sorry. We had Turbo's little storyline with her mother.
Yeah.
So, because she had an ounce with her mom. It was really great foreshadowing of what's going on.
Right.
She had an ounce with her mom because she wasn't telling her that she was a hero and couldn't, because, like, you'd be a danger or whatever. Silvermane, another D-list Spider-Man villain, because it's New York.
They're all there.
They're all there. You know, like, use that, like, figures that out and use that against her, etc. And so, like, but at the end, she doesn't end up telling her mom that she is Turbo either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have that moment, and then, like, it leaves Lunella with this choice of, like, is she going to say something?
Mm-hmm.
So then she goes and is about to, and then Molecule Man shows up.
Of course.
And decides, like, and, like, again, the PTSD, like, comes rushing back. Because, you know, he's basically like, I'm going to take you took everything from me, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to take everything from you. Da, 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 da. It's real brutal. And this is basically how Molecule Man is used in Marvel Universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's okay. Because he's just sort of like this guy who got this like ridiculous cosmic power. Mm. He's just a human. That's all he is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a dude.
He's just a guy.
He's just a dude from New York who got basically the ability to see molecules and manipulate them.
Uh-huh.
So it's a power that was like well beyond him. It would overlap him. He'd be kind of like taken down by it. Villains would use him to be kind of like their puppet or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like the way they use him is typically that he's not a bad guy. He's just overwhelmed by this idea. And now,
reasonably so.
And he lashes out at people who lash out at him. So he has this idea that Lunella, the Moon Girl, destroyed everything for him. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to lash out. And then ultimately, he's not the bad guy. So it's a really great, you know, like, struggle back and forth about, like, you know, protecting the family. And then she reveals to them, like, during this fight that she is Moon Girl. And, like, it's like, oh. And it's like, and the mom's what? Like, and the mom's like, just like, what? And it's really good. And, but it ends up, like, basically talking him down and on a molecular level, which is a freaking brilliant title.
So good.
Brilliant title for an episode. Brings him down and, like, you know, like has, like, a whole, like, heart to heart. Because the whole time she's asking for Beyonder, in an earlier episode, she told the Beyonder to go away.
Pretty much.
Which is really cool, because I thought he was going to have, like, a big save moment at the end, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's left for season three, if we get it. That'll be, like, good. I think that's really cool. Like, because you expect that to happen. You expect,
yeah, you expect her.
She can't beat a molecular villain on her own.
An all-powerful being.
There's no way she can do that. So Beyonder's got to come in and help, right? It's like, nope. It's not that she can beat him. She can talk him down and, like...
Yep. She can't beat him, but she can work her way
She down. Can change him back down to the level, which is great.
Yeah, and I was fully expecting him to come back into it, too, which I was... I had mixed feelings initially, but I appreciate that she was able to win out.
Yeah. It's like, reminds him, like, why he built his own planet and stuff like that. It was very, very cool. He might be an interdimensional being in this version or whatever, but, like, the version that was... In Marvel Comics, is a dude who, like, gets the powers and becomes, like, this cosmic being, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never been, like, a bad guy. He just has been kind of, like, warped by the powers or whatever. So, and then at the end of it, like, she basically, like, you know, like, it's the opposite end of Turbo's little story, where she, like, tells her mom. And the mom's like, you're never doing this again.
No.
And it's what's brilliant is they could have done it as a joke.
Yeah.
And they don't.
No.
It's not a joke. She literally, like, she is, like, the mom is very serious in this moment. And Lunella gets, like, that look of, like, you know, like, you know. Like,
everything's broken.
Everything's broken now. It's like this, like, it's great because it's, like, that big cathartic confession moment. And you think they're all going to.
Everyone loves each other.
And the mom's like, I cannot watch my daughter do this.
Nope.
Because it was a very deadly, dangerous situation that she was witnessing. And it's like, you can't argue against the mom.
I mean, no. Mom has a point.
Mom 100% has a point here.
To be a good parent is to not let your children become superheroes.
Yes, exactly. Again, like, there's a whole, like... So it'll be interesting to see, like, where they go with it. Like, if she's going to do-goodery, like, outside of
We gotta get a rebellious teen.
I know, right? Yeah, it's like, is it gonna be a season-long thing? Is it just gonna be a two-parter at the start? Which is fine. You can do two-parters to... Because when you lead into the next thing, which is always good, which is what this did, it solved the whole her lost in the multiverse, but introduced her PTSD.
Yep.
So it's like, okay.
Whole other problems.
Now we have this problem. So if you resolve the mom problem in the first one, she becomes, like, more... accepting of the idea of her being Moon Girl because she sees what she's doing for the community, or she's seen it before. That's what's interesting about the mom's decision.
Yeah.
It's because they set it up in a way of, like, she loves Moon Girl and what she does for the community.
Mm-hmm.
She's even had, like, little spats with Moon Girl about the community and stuff and, like, things like that. So she respects Moon Girl. But realizing that her daughter is Moon Girl, she can't have that be a thing.
Which no.
I think that's really good.
That's a healthy level of separation.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And honestly, like, it's really cool how developed their relationship has been throughout the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
Because mother and daughter, or mom and Moon Girl, they're both fun and very dynamic, and both have their interesting pluses and minuses.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to finally, like, clash with each other in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
And I really don't want them to just, like, resolve it with one episode.
I don't either.
I need this to be, like, an overarching conflict.
Here's the thing, and this is something from episode one that I love, that they might bring back. Here's my prediction of how this gets resolved, whether it's within two episodes or eight. He's like, because you can do like half a season where they're battling, and then you have to deal with the fact that, like, Beyonder or something happened with that. You know, it's like, we got to bring that back at some point. So it'd be very interesting. So at the beginning of the series, Lunella's mom gives her a Walkman.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Doesn't know, like, she has no, it's a funny joke. It's like, I have no idea what this is. Like, no idea what a Walkman is because she's a Zoomer.
Of course.
No clue what this is. So, you know, it's like, and so she turns it into her little communicator device.
Yeah.
But she gave it to her and she gave her a tape along with it. Thinking there's like a mixtape on that tape or something like that. Ooh, we haven't seen yet. Like there's cool. Something that she gave her at the start of this series that's going to come back around and reshape their relationship in some way.
I would love that.
That's what I think is going
to
happen.
That would be great.
So it's like, because like, again, this show, this studio is smart. Like, mm-hmm. The studio is smart about how they storyboard things, about how they produce things. And like, they know how to drive, they know how to bring things back around on themselves. Mm-hmm. And like it's all cyclical storytelling. They do it with Monkey Kid, they do it with Rise of the TMNT, they do it with freaking Glitch Techs on Netflix, by the way.
Oh, I forgot about Glitch Techs.
Yeah, Glitch Techs is also theirs. You know, it's like probably like their weakest of their three series that I would recommend.
Yeah.
Still good.
All right.
Still good.
Care for it.
Like, so but yeah, Glitch Techs is another show they do it. But even they like were introduced up in episode one that circles back around. Dang. By the end of like season two. So yeah. I'm excited for new episodes.
Let's get it.
What Marvel characters would you like to see?
Oh my god!
In this show,
there's so many.
I'm thinking like, because here's the thing: Speedball never gets any love.
Speedball would be fun.
Speedball would be a lot of fun.
That'd be cool.
I think you put Speedball in here. You age him down a little bit. Maybe he's a little, you know, a little bit like that. Spot. I said Spot before.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Verse came out, which they properly did Spot.
Oh, Spot was amazing in Spider-Verse. Amazing. You can't go on Spot.
So you can't really like take that and like do him again in that way. So I don't know about that one. But like some New York level heroes, it would be nice to. What if an A-lister? Okay, let's name an A-lister.
We already got Captain America.
Got a little shot of Cap. We got a little shot of Sam
Falcon
Wilson.
Cap. Yeah,
Falcon Sam Wilson Cap. A little bit of that. You know, what'd be funny is just if Red Wing was in an episode.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Well, actually, he was. Never mind.
Oh yeah. Well, he's
but
like
it was
a,
not a Red
a
Wing. It's a different
Red Wing.
Red Wing.
Yeah.
But it would be funny if just Red Wing showed up. But I guess the MCU doesn't have that.
So of course not.
It's a drone or whatever. Like, but yeah, like an A-list Marvel character. I don't know.
Ooh, Valkyrie?
Valkyrie be cool. Valkyrie would be rad. Yeah. Valkyrie, Lady Sif, maybe. One of those.
Let's get
two.
Some like magic characters.
Yeah,
in there.
We haven't had magic yet.
Let's do like some science versus magic.
Let's explore some magic. That's a good point. We haven't had any magic characters yet.
That could be interesting.
You could do Valkyrie, like you could throw in any one of like Thor's smaller villains or you know, like Fantastic Four villains too.
Or even like some Doctor Strange characters.
Yeah, some Doctor Strange, yeah. You could bring in I don't know, the guy from the first movie. I forget. Mads Mikkelsen played.
Got me.
Couldn't tell you what his name was. Hopefully Mads Mikkelsen will show up as like Doom or something.
Right.
And get a proper show.
Cool.
But yeah. But like some it would be cool to see like some oncoming bigger threats or something.
Ooh.
That she doesn't directly deal with or like has to stop from happening. Like a Nihilus. Like maybe like some negative zone stuff.
Give
some negative
cool,
zone.
Actually.
Annihilus, Blastar, like stuff like that. Like stuff that's like above her pay grade. Yeah. That you could then have like the Fantastic Four come in and save. Because guess what? Fantastic Four's got a movie coming out, guys.
Oh,
so maybe we'd explore
crazy.
A little bit of Fantastic Four in this.
Got to build it up a little bit.
Right? Yeah. So you have Blastar, you got Annihilus, you got Mandragon. Like some Fantastic Four villains you could bring in. Hatemonger, that would be interesting. Might be a little heavy, but
still in the same spirit.
Yeah, same spirit. You know, it's like, but I feel like you could do that. You could bring in some low level Spidey villain. Shocker,
Bring
in Shocker.
Yeah, Shocker's fine.
Pincushion Man, bring him in. You know, Boomerang. You know, it's like
the wall.
It's like Mandarin.
Oh gosh, can't do Mandarin.
Which is technically the villain from the Black Widow movie, but they don't call him Mandarin.
Oh, really?
But it's definitely that.
Yeah,
so,
because
it's the same power. Like
pretty much, yeah.
It's literally his power. So, yeah. So you can do Mandarin. So, I don't know.
Mandarin.
Probably not on a kid show, though. Taskmaster. Ooh. Although,
actually, you know what?
I'm one that elevates Taskmaster from what he usually is.
Yeah.
Like, they always want to put him in, like, cereal box comics where he just gets his butt kicked. I'm like, that's a level threat. This dude could go toe-to-toe with Cap. Like, let's up him up a little bit.
So, it'd be interesting to do Taskmaster.
Yeah.
I want a villain who's, like, on her level, like, intellectually.
Yeah.
And that's why I really liked Kid Kree, because he was kind of, he's on her level in every single way, but kind of an antagonist, and they, like, develop a relationship. So I'd like something similar to that.
Finesse would be interesting.
Finesse
is a cool kid. So Finesse was in Avengers Academy. Mm-hmm. I think it was later turned out that she was actually the daughter of Taskmaster at some point. Okay. But she's like sort of like this, like she can do everything perfectly, essentially.
Okay.
But it's not like she copies things. Like she like has like a encyclopedic knowledge of like all physical activity, essentially.
Interesting.
But she's not superhuman by any stretch. Uh-huh. But she can do like any gymnastic, any parkouring, any martial art. Yeah. Is just sort of like there. She's not stronger than who she is. She's just a slender framed woman.
Yeah.
But like she can
do
all this stuff.
She's still very skilled.
Yeah, she's still very skilled with all this stuff.
Ooh, actually, which X-Men would you want to see?
Ooh, an X-Man?
An X-Man.
Oh, Power Pack. Duh.
Power Pack would be perfect.
That'd
be awesome.
Like, give me a Power Pack show. Spinoff by Flying Bark.
I forgot about Power Pack.
Everyone forgets about Power Pack.
Yeah.
But yeah, give me a show spinoff with Power Pack. Introduce him here and then give me a Power Pack.
That'd be awesome.
Be perfect.
Oh my God, she's so cool.
Yeah, but you said that and I'm thinking like all the X-Men crossovers of Power Pack. Right. And I was like, a Wolverine crossover of Power Pack was cute. I'd like to see it. And then it hit me, Power Pack.
Just do Power Pack.
But yeah, but Wolverine, I'd love to see Wolverine.
Oh, Wolverine would be cool.
It'd be great because like he's just like this gruff like, right. Like, I don't want you around, kid. And it'd be hilarious. It'd be great.
Oh my gosh, it'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome. Maybe Kitty. Kitty Pryde would be
fun. Kitty would be fun.
Because you have Lockheed there. She's got a dragon buddy.
Yeah.
You know,
they can relate.
They can relate, you know? It's like,
that'd be cute.
Age her down a little bit more, you know? Right. It's like she's like preteen, like almost.
She always is supposed to be like a preteen anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, but you know, it's just not modern day Kitty Pryde who's like a full on adult.
Right.
You know? It's like, it would be like early on Kitty Pryde. Armor would be fun.
Ooh, armor would be good too.
Any Jubilee would be fun if you just had.
You gotta love Jubilee.
If you just had a younger Jubilee or just like 90s Jubilee, you know, like that version of her, you know? It'd be great. I would love that.
They just have a full crossover with X-Men 97.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like, honestly, just pluck. Like, even though it's not in 97, but, like, just pluck just Jubilee from the 97 cartoon and put her down
She goes through another universe portal, and she's just in this show for a little bit.
Right, yeah. Also, Dazzler. Just have her go to a Dazzler
show. Oh, gotta have that.
Go to a Dazzler show. And,
like,
do the disco.
It's all about music.
Yeah. The disco Dazzler outfit has roller skates.
It'd be perfect. Just like, put her into the roller rink.
Put Dazzler in there. It'd be great.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
And Dazzler's my favorite X-Man, so there you go. All the way back from Pride of the X-Men cartoon, and the arcade game, the cartoon that's based off of.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, we got to watch Pride of the X-Men.
All right, let's
fantastic.
Do that.
I mean, it's great. It's like a half hour long. It probably should be like three parts, but whatever, it's fine. It's awesome. It's great. It's basically like G.I. Joe X-Men. Like,
oh, Jesus.
It's that like style of animation, but like X-Men. Great. It's awesome.
I'm here for it.
Because the animation's really good because it's a pilot, so like they put all the money in it. So it didn't get picked up. And then the 4 years later, the 90s X-Men show came out. So
it all worked out in the end.
92? So 5 years later. So I think it was 87. Could have been 86. 87, Pride of the X-Men, then that one happened. So yeah. Marvel Animation, it's back, baby.
Let's do it.
We've got Moon Girl. We've got 97, X-Men 97. We want more Marvel cartoons, guys.
We deserve it.
Give us Power Pack. That's
Give us Power Pack.
That's my new one.
It'd be so much fun.
Power Pack would be awesome. It's fun that you can they're isolated. You don't have to have a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
You can do episodic stuff with the aliens trying to get them.
Yep.
It's perfect.
It'd be great.
Perfect. You got four characters to play off of.
Mm-hmm.
Four separate characters that do stuff.
They love to interact with other heroes.
Yeah.
You can have them stop by random heroes.
You can have Franklin Richards show up. You know, he's always hanging out with them. So I need some more Fantastic Four stuff, guys, because Fantastic Four has been ignored for so long.
It deserves the love. It deserves more love.
I need more of it. Need more of it. Just because Fox owned them, they've been ignored forever. And putting out, like, mediocre movies.
Maybe the movie's going to be great.
Oh, again, like, maybe the movie will be great. I don't know. But all I need is I need more things of that show, of that content. Because I love Fantastic Four. That was one of the best. And Lunella was bred off of Fantastic Four. There's a lot of Fantastic Four crossovers in the comics.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because she's like super science-y. So it's like, oh, go to Reed Richards. Because there's two things you do in Marvel Comics. You either, or three things you do in Marvel Comics. You either, you don't really go to Reed Richards anymore because he wasn't owned by Marvel. His movie rights weren't owned by Marvel. So they never went to him anymore. But you either go to Reed Richards, you go to Tony Stark, or you go to Doctor Strange to get magical MacGuffin. That's literally what you do in like every single one. Kamala Khan got her suit from Reed Richards. Somebody went to Iron Man to pick up a thing and they insulted his manhood and he gave him a magical thing. And then you go to Doctor Strange and like, hey, I need a trinket. Here you go. Here's a trinket. It's literally like they're the three wizards of the Marvel Universe. And you go to one of them to get a thing.
Just go to a white guy with a goatee. Yeah, right. Give you something fun.
And that's it. That's the whole thing. So, you know, which is why Reed Richards is better because he's the brilliant white guy with the white streak.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the daddy white streak. So that's cool with the kids now.
He looks mature.
Looks mature. But he's also Pedro Pascal now.
He's Pedro. You know, I mean, we love Pedro Pascal.
We love Pedro Pascal.
Oh my God, he's amazing.
But yeah, so yeah, there we go. That's it for Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur, Jay. We talked about it all this time, and
it's so good.
We're going to talk about more tiny animated comic girls later on, too, with DC Superhero Girls at some point.
Yes.
Which that'll be
I still need to finish. I'm sorry.
You do!
I'm very ashamed.
Why
of
have
it.
You not finished?
Because there's so much content.
I want to do Rise of TMNT Season 2 with you as well.
Oh, yes.
Granted, that's not as easily accessible.
It is not.
Because it's on Paramount or whatever. Nobody has Paramount. It's like, that's where all the Star Trek stuff is. Nobody watches it.
No one likes Star Trek.
Nobody likes modern day Star Trek. But yeah, so yeah. Yeah, if you ever get like Paramount Plus or if it's on Prime, maybe it's on Prime. I don't know. Season one's on Netflix. The movie's on Netflix.
Yes.
Season two is not on Netflix. I don't know why. Season two is freaking amazing and it needs to be on Netflix.
I need to watch it.
Because that's the reason I tell people to go watch it is for season two.
It's so good.
It's amazing. Have you watched it?
No, I'm sorry. The first season is so good.
It's so good.
I chewed in and watched the movie, and it is so good.
You don't want to watch the movie.
I know, but it was so good.
It doesn't spoil a whole lot, but it does spoil one amazing thing in it, and you're already spoiled on it.
So, well, yeah, because just still. The fight alone was...
Yeah,
I had to watch that.
But still, it's great. But that's Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur. Hope we're getting a season three.
Hopefully.
I think it's happening. It just hasn't been renewed yet, but we'll probably get it. But that's going to do it. Jay, thank you for being on.
Always a pleasure.
Show them where they can find your new engaged
stuff. You can find me at KY Nerdy Bird on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok.
TikTok.
We love TikTok.
We don't love TikTok.
I am also on Tumblr.
He loves TikTok.
If anyone's on Tumblr.
He loves TikTok.
I love TikTok.
He loves TikTok.
It is nothing but brain rot.
It's brain rot. on Tumblr, eh? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right. A little old school.
A little old school, yeah. I'm still on DeviantArt.
Oh, God.
That's really old. That's really old.
We love DeviantArt.
Yeah, so I don't have anything on it, but
it's trash. But we all love it.
It's not trash.
There's a lot of good stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff on it, but it's mostly trash.
It's mostly trash.
Also, ever since, like, you know, the whole, like, not going to get an argument about AI art, but, like, ever since, like, the whole thing about AI art, like, there's just tons of AI stuff, and I'm just gonna scroll past this because people try to pass it off again. Not gonna get an AI. No. I think AI art is a good tool. That's about all I'm gonna say about it. So
okay,
it's a good tool. That's about all. But yeah, that's it. Go check him out and all of his cool art stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it for this episode of Animation Destination. Check us out at animationdestination.com. Animation Destination. At Facebook and on Instagram, and you can also check us out on nothing else because that's the two things that I'm on. I haven't gotten a Twitter back. I might get a Twitter back soon, maybe.
You deserve better than Twitter.
Everyone deserves better than Twitter, but it's just like, but it's the easiest way to communicate with people in the animation industry. So it's like I might get it back. I kind of want to talk to people. Okay. Kind of want to get some guests on. So you know, it's easy to contact people that way. So it might happen. Who knows? We'll see. But this has been the Animation Destination Podcast. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned.